can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
You can run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Sooner or later,
gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
So, I just thought this last question before Jay Dyer takes over. I was like, Kyle, I'm taking on the bad guys, and I cover the whole system, and I get a lot of attacks. But I noticed a few times I was going for one specific high-level operative or globalist. That's when real hell breaks loose. I said, I've never seen somebody in just this period of time take them on. I said, what are the repercussions going to be? Because, you know, whatever the new FBI is, you know, and unless they're good guys, are going to be even more scared of you because you have all the whistleblowers. You're willing to do it. By the way, you crush him, it'll just make 1,000 more. I would advise them to think about Streisand effect. You said, oh, you didn't know about this. I didn't. So Bongino is pledging he's going to, him and his henchmen are going to get you.
Right. Yeah, I sent it over to Daria. This is, I don't know, sometimes you wake this stuff up. I can't be worried about it, but it doesn't make me feel great when people who have a much bigger, you know, microphone than I do, that obviously have a much bigger social media platform, and they're going to go out there and do that. And that is what my business is these days. I mean, my business is in media, so that's not my favorite. When somebody says, yeah, we're going to address you real soon. It also turns out that I have a, you know, a decent audience, and some of my monetized platform is coming from Rumble, to find out that guy who owns almost 6% of that has got his henchmen out there saying that we're going to address Kyle Serafin because I put out a meme.
Yeah,
which,
let's
by the way,
pull that meme up, guys. Kyle sent it to you. But first, we have some actual footage of Bongino leaving the FBI, mounting up with his buddies to come after you. Here it is. Go ahead, roll it while he speaks. Go ahead. So here they're coming, Kyle.
That's right. It's silly. Yeah, it's... I don't know. When you're out there making threats on your punching downward, and this is something you advise towards me, and I actually agree with it. It's like, generally speaking,
just because you put this out, though, they're mad at you.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, I've been a relentless sort of calling out of what Dan's failures are, and they were inevitable. And I think I've been charitable about it. I don't think it's a character defect. I think it's a knowledge defect.
So like, you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the ability. Now, what is the implication?
I don't know. I mean, Rumble claims they're a free speech platform. I wouldn't be surprised if I lost following there. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have a channel there, got demonetized. That would be real easy. And, you know, here's the funny thing. The first time he and I mixed it up, which happened about a year and change ago, Dan didn't say he did this, but I went from catching, you know, I basically lost 50% of my live viewers immediately. Like the next day, we suddenly just didn't have anybody over there. And whether that was because of a Rumble reboot or an algorithm shift,
yeah, for those
or whatever
who don't
the heck
know, he's
was,
part owner in that. I didn't think of that. God, I hope
he owns about $150 million worth of their stock, maybe 165, depending on the day. It's a lot. I mean, he owns almost 6% of the company. So I think if an owner of 6% of a publicly traded company calls up the founder of it and says, hey, by the way, this guy's PNG'd and we're not going to go out there and allow anything. I've never once had a video featured. We have a pretty decent podcast in the morning.
Well, let me warn the folks at Rumble, because I love them and I know some of the other bigger shareholders. Don't Bud Light your brand. If you let Bongino come in there and start attacking people and make it a prerequisite to suck his wiener to be on Rumble, you are going to turn into Bud Light.
I think they're doing it already, for whatever it's worth. I got friends who own smaller stakes of it that have told me similar things. They have questions, and the answers are basically like, sorry, if you're not going to be on what we say is the approved chit, then you don't get to go out there and be successful the way other people are. We've done it in spite of them. And, you know, I have an audience and people listening. I think my show that I do punches way above its weight for people who have decision-making capabilities. But we did a podcast, and the next day they went and they pulled my buddy who was on the podcast. His attorneys fired him. The FBI called him back to active duty and then fired him 3 days later for things he said on my show. And they quoted my show as the reason why they were firing him. So, you know, I'm going to point out that these guys are ridiculous when they're acting ridiculous. And some of it is very personal to me.
Well,
and
this is something I hope Bongino can look in the mirror. Because
you think that
he's done
understand.
This to himself. He's the problem. If he was smart,
yeah, I didn't do this.
He'd ride off of the sunset. We don't and leave everybody alone.
If you say you're going to go solve a problem and you can't do it, either be a man and say I wasn't able to get it done. Don't lie to us. Don't piss on our leg and tell us it's raining and say I solved all the problems. When we blow up this pipe bomber case, which is going to come probably in the next couple weeks, then people are going to realize like all the things you claimed you did, they were all fluff. So how are you going to go back and tell people that? Look them in the eye and then tell them I have an NDA and I can't actually discuss anything that I learned in the last year. It shouldn't fly. Americans should do better and demand better.
Yeah. So, Kyle Serafin, thanks for the time.
Yeah, buddy. Always good.
Whoa, dude. Is that methylene blue? This house really knows me. wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Listeners and viewers, your prayer, your word of mouth, and your support. But I can tell you, in the twilight of the great year 2025, you are the deciding factor. You are the variable whether or not we're going to stay on the air. And it's been one long hell of a fight. Now I'm told they're going to have the auction in early March at the state level to sell InfoWars, and it's going to be an open auction. The good guys can buy it. But the problem is, we are in the red. Not massively, but in the red. And every day it's bigger. We can't stay open with a receiver and all these systems if we don't have the funding. So I need you now to do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. You have until the 23rd to get 60% off on things like Ultra Methylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilaji. Those aren't sexy names, but they do sexy things. And it funds this operation. And we have two new great flavors of the same product, Freedom Mango and Patriot Punch. We have something even better than Turbo Force, ladies and gentlemen, and natural like it with incredible extended energy. New product, Ultimate Power. I did not come up with that name. I would have said Unlimited Power, and I never probably on the cover. But it looks like it's a powerful firework or something. But the results you get are definitely match the cover. It is filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ignites mental clarity and focus. Clean, sustained energy. Enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Key ingredients, L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Once absorbed, supporting nitric oxide production, enhances circulation, vascularity, and oxygen delivery, and fuels longer workout, sharper focus, and quicker recovery. The big things for the brain. L-theanine promotes a relaxed, laser-focused state. No jitter, no anxiety, mental clarity, and stress resistance. Natural caffeine, 100 milligrams per tiny little scoop is in there. Equivalent to one cup of high-quality coffee. The highest quality organic B12 and B6 and a bunch of other ingredients. Ultimate power. It is amazing. It's as good or better than Turbo Force. It's a different formula. It has some of the same ingredients. You're going to love it. And it's a heavy container. How many servings are there? Like a couple months worth? I mean, it's a little tiny scoop. It's got to be like 60 of those in here. This is powerful. I guess it does deserve the name Ultimate Power. I would just call it probably Ultimate Energy, but that name was taken. We got to have Emperor Palpatine advertise this. Unlimited power! So this with the methylene blue, the rest of it's insane. Then we have the highest quality of creatine, and it's 5 milligrams per day. That's the daily allowance. You want to front load when you first get it, about 20 milligrams a day for about a week. Then after that, and everybody knows it works for your muscles and it's great, but it's for your brain that it's really good. We have that in two different flavors, creatine, ultimate creatine gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. But it takes funds to do this and my legal battles, and we're really starting to win. Notice we're still here despite all the insanity. So the variable is you. Yes, the globalists failed to silence us, but now it is in your hands. Do we have the backup Alex Jones Network? Yes, all that. But we really want to save the mothership. What a victory. So that Bloomberg, who's trying to come in and take it at the auction, can't get it. There is so much happening. Regardless, we're going to fight to the end and never give up. This is a marathon, not a sprint. The turtle wins, not the rabbit. I ask for your support. I salute you and I thank you. Plus, these are really amazing products that really work. You've heard the rave reviews. That's not hype. So get all these great products and more. If you've never gotten Methylene Blue, we have the best. Take the Methylene Blue Challenge. Go to theauctionstore.com right now. And I thank you all for your incredible support. Now, best-selling author, researcher, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis takes over on this Friday transmission.
Thank you, Alex. Ben Shapiro talked about the shadowy groups.
The shadowy confederacy.
That nobody identifies, no one talks about. Well, that's simply not true. As anybody who's listened to this broadcast knows and has heard Alex name names for years.
With the receipts, decades. With their own videos, with their own books. But you do it even more than I. A whole library of them. I mean, it's a joke.
We're about
joke.
To do it.
It's a joke. Oh, so this is a message.
Everything
to
behind me is naming names. So, like, the whole backdrop is naming names. And
well, look at David Rockefeller in Reflections. Of course, there's people accusing me of a conspiracy for world government to take over. Well, guilty as charged.
Yeah, David Rockefeller has multiple chapters in his memoirs about creating a global government, about helping to found Bilderberg. The book I'm reading right now is a CFR historian, Burton Hirsch. So this counts as something along the lines of Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. This is the old boys. It's the history of the CIA and the OSS coming out of the wealthy families like the Rockefellers and support from the Rothschilds as well. British intelligence helps to set
and
up.
And I'm going to shut up because you're a real historian on this. In fact, I should have thought of that. You're like the guy with their own quotes. These are their books. Most of them are their books bragging. He didn't just say that we never name the shadowy elites. He said we do it to make you feel powerless and to never give you policy. All we do is then develop policy ideas, many of which get adopted. Like, everything he says is a lie. You want to play the short clips people have in context?
Yeah, please.
Guys, cue up Ben Shapiro last night attacking me and others. It goes on and laughing about the USS Liberty, saying the torpedo boats came to save them. The torpedoes were loving little gift packages. Here's a little Ben Shapiro.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems, in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face, without ever positing a solution other than wrecking the system or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not finding solutions. We are merely making problems worse. Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life, none of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. That's because if you truly come to believe that nothing in your life is in your control, you can't even take control of your own life. You despair of your ability to change your own circumstances, and then you fail. And you must not fail.
No, if you can't expose the secret control system, it's not even secret, the public's just ignorant, then you can never get back control. And we've been getting back control. How about don't take the shots? Here's top experts, whistleblower from Pfizer, their former vice president, head of vaccines, before the shots rolled out, Yeadon, saying it will attack your immune system and give you vaccine-induced AIDS and everything that's happened in turbo cancers. No. We are giving you solutions. Don't trust you, Ben. You said all of us should take the shots. You supported the lockdowns. I mean, he is such a paper tiger. I'm going to shut up. Now I hand you the baton again, Jay Dyer.
Well, it's also gaslighting, too, because he said that you never proposed solutions when, in fact, this audience is the spearhead of waking people up to take action and to not be blackpilled. So really, in logical fallacies, that's a straw man. He's setting up a position that Alex doesn't have, that we don't have, and then knocking that down and saying, see, if you listen to that guy, you're going to be blackpilled, you're going to be unable to take action in your life. But let's deal with the first part of it, because it ended up being what I was planning to talk about today, which was, are there shadowy elites? Well, they're not really shadowy. Maybe in decades past, they were more shadowy, but a lot of these elites have published books, they've come out and they've said what their plans are. And as I've said many times on the Fourth Hour, I've heard Alex saying that for years, back 10, 15, 20 years ago. When I first heard Alex 22 years ago, and I thought what he said sounded a little far-fetched. I knew about the UN and the New World Order and these kinds of ideas and socialism and Marxism, but that they would be that explicit in their texts was something that I just was a little skeptical about. So I went and started buying these books. And ever since then, on my channel, for example, we've lectured through them for the last 10 years. And I've been reading those texts for 22, 23 years. So it's very real. It's very public. But Ben Shapiro is counting upon the boomer mind matrix still controlling everybody in the neocon, normie conservative world, con inc. world, that no, it's all just incompetence. It's all just, the libs. There's no plan. There's no Klaus Schwab. There's no Davos. There's no Bilderberg. There's no, AIPAC that's trying to run American foreign policy. No, none of that exists. All that exists is the libs, the incompetent, the retarded libs. Well, one of the most powerful, wealthy men in America, David Rockefeller, as we all know, he wrote a book called Memoirs. And on page 404, it's kind of even shocking that we have to still talk about and defend this. I mean, this is 2025. It's not 1995. I can understand normie conservatives, freaking out about this stuff back in the 90s. But this is 2025. This is after global policies around wearing BDSM masks to fight off some, virus that's going to kill everybody. This is not that era anymore. And I think Ben Shapiro doesn't realize he's cooked, to use the Gen Z term. His time is already over, because people can, within a few seconds, go and look up and see that David Rockefeller wrote a chapter called Proud Internationalist, where he says, if you say that I'm guilty of wanting a global government and a new order, I stand guilty as charged. Absolutely. And he says, that's why I created the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, et cetera. That's not all he created. He says that we also were involved in supporting and funding the Dulles brothers, who were really sort of front people for the Rockefellers. And that's why they became the founders of the OSS and CIA, along with Bill Donovan and others, to really get that flagship deep state operation going. So if we get into the history, not from conspiracy theorists, the history from Council on Foreign Relationship archivists, much like Carol Quigley, there's one called written by Burton Hirsch, The Old Boys. The Old Boy Network is referring to the old OSS and CIA network. And even prior to that, back to the Woodrow Wilson administration, The Inquiry, which was a bunch of academics who operated as kind of the proto-CIA of that time. Even David Rockefeller's memoirs talks about the policies that the Dulleses, for example, had about the Nazis and perhaps helping the Nazis out. And that doesn't mean that Nazis are running everything, but it means that there are higher groups that want there to be wars. There are higher powers above nation states that can call the shots. And that's exactly what these NGOs, think tanks, foundations are created for, is to kind of be above the nation state level, to try to push policy, try to tell them what to do, particularly for these globalist designs. And you have right there in the chapter called Proud Internationalist, David Rockefeller admitting that that's his goal, that's his job. Now, there might be factions and divisions amongst the elites at times, and they can also join powers like mafia organizations do, or like dons do. Alex has played that clip many times of the Godfather sitting around at the table with the other mafia dons, the five families, and they're talking about whether they're going to start selling drugs or not. What we're talking about is similar to that. It's just on a bigger scale. It's not little sections of New York or the Bronx or whatever. It's global steering committees meeting together to decide global policy, to enforce things like Malthusian policies of depopulation, to enforce things like international socialism, Fabian socialism, et cetera. All of those things have been pushed at a very high level, not just by one family, the Rockefellers, but by many elite families that, for example, Quigley, in his book, lists in many, many chapters. He says the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgans, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds. So there's a confederation of these very wealthy, elite, oligarchical families that are smart enough to know how to construct these sort of impenetrable bureaucratic entities that have a kind of a criminal lockdown on the government. And that's why it's so difficult, even with a president who wants to change things, to change things, because there's an entrenched deep state, as everyone calls it. But the point is that that's not a conspiracy theory. And even the New York Times admitted a couple of years ago, thank God for the deep state, right? So now it does exist. It's just, by the way, a good thing. Before, it never existed, and you're crazy if you talk about it. And then it moves into the phase of, well, the deep state does exist, and here's why that's a good thing, right? All these gay journalism, faking gay journalism titles. We actually have so many historical texts, and I studied in undergrad. I'm one class away from a double major in history and philosophy. So for me, history was very important. We don't know how we got to where we are if we don't understand where we were. So and history repeats. There's always these kinds of cycles. If you read somebody like Spengler, for example, who was very influential on Henry Kissinger's thought, Spengler talks about cycles of history and civilizations having a kind of a organic lifespan. And then they have a flourishing and then they have a collapse after a while. And usually that collapse has to do with degeneracy, laziness, and the importation of third world or foreign entities to destroy the existing population. Weapons of mass migration, as Kelly Greenhill's book discusses. Well, the elites, the power elite, they know all about this, and they've studied this for many, many, many centuries, perhaps even millennia, if you go back into, you know, old elite families of the black nobility and the Medicis and those kinds of families. They've understood bureaucracy and how to manage big populations. But it's just a treasure, I would say, when we have admissions in the books. And a lot of people say to me, why do you care about so we know there's a New World Order. Who cares what these books say? Well, it's more than that. It's not just admissions. It's also understanding how they rule men, how they create organizations and steer them, co-opt them, and even things like staging elections, throwing elections, how assassinations occur, because there's been a long history of elite assassinations and government officials being taken out. Most famously, we just had the Charlie Kirk assassination, which there are, I think, valid questions that should be asked. Doesn't mean I agree with everything that Candace says. It's just there's nothing wrong with asking these questions. If they want to weaponize question asking, it's the very thing that Ben Shapiro said. If you ask these questions, it's only because you're malicious. Well, there's nothing more effeminate than debating and calling into question everybody's motives. Because you can't prove or disprove motives unless you have somebody's explicit DMs or emails saying, ha, 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 I have bad motives. I'm going to screw everything up. No, there's no way to prove or disprove motives. So it's a very shady, slimy tactic to say that the only reason Tucker or anybody would raise questions is because they have bad motives and they're funded by Qatar and all this nonsense, when the establishment itself has said many times over in their works, there are confederacies of open elites. It's not unknown. It's open. And so, for example, many writers who do write about this from more of a conspiracy critical perspective, they talk about a WASP Zionist alliance that has occurred in the last several decades. If you go from the time of when Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope and Anglo-American Establishment, that was late 60s, 70s, and then 1982, I think, for Anglo-American Establishment, it kind of leaves off with, yeah, the Rothschilds are involved, but where then? Well, since the Cold War, there's been a WASP Zionist alliance, and that didn't play out that great for the WASPs over time, because they ended up losing a lot of power, especially in the domain of foreign policy, to the AIPAC Zionist alliance. But in order to understand how we got to that, we have to understand that there was a desire to have a world war, not because everybody was in on it or everybody understood the full plan, but that the thought was that out of a world war, we could have global governance. If everyone saw how bad a giant global conflict was, then we could get what? League of Nations, World War One. Well, that didn't pass. It failed. The Wilsonian plans didn't come to full fruition. And Wilson was an agent of Colonel Edwin Mandel House, of the Rothschilds, of the British elite banking circles. So this is now on record, not just from Anthony Sutton and people that wrote about that many decades ago, but yet another global elite text admits that Colonel Edwin Mandel House played a key role in maneuvering, blackmailing, and positioning the Woodrow Wilson administration to ensure that America would begin its move towards soft socialism, Fabian socialism, capitalistic socialism. And it was very crucial to include and utilize figures like the Dulles brothers, Bill Donovan, and others. So when we talk about this book, Old Boys, which I'm going to be lecturing through the whole text on my channel on YouTube, if you want to see the full lectures, you can go follow me there, is that the beginning of the American superstructure of intelligence is not necessarily OSS. It's the World War I era of the inquiry. And this included key figures like Colonel Edwin Mandel House, John Maynard Keynes, the famed Fabian socialist economist, even though he was not a member of their society. He is the preeminent economist for the world, the Western world, for the 20th century. Most institutions, most economic thinkers, you know, New York Times writer people, et cetera, they are of the Keynesian ethos. They believe in the good of that war can actually help stimulate the economy, that printing money can stimulate the economy, et cetera. All of these principles that are opposed to, you know, Austrian economics, et cetera. Keynesianism is what dominates. And all of the intelligence operative founders, for the most part, of the inquiry, OSS, CIA, were Keynesians. They were Fabian socialists in their economic ideology, even if they didn't become a member of some society. They had this ideology. And so it was Colonel Edwin Mandel House, according to Burton Hirsch, that dominated the Woodrow Wilson administration. And thus, British Secret Intelligence Service operatives were already working in the West, already working to make sure that Woodrow Wilson pushed his 14 points, et cetera, all the Wilsonian principles at the behest of the Royal Society Rothschild elites. That's who was really wanting this operation to go through. That's why we get the Federal Reserve. It's these people. It's Colonel Edwin Mandel House that pushed Woodrow Wilson to be a supporter of the Federal Reserve. And this is all Keynesian. It is the inquiry that dominates the Paris Peace Commission of 1919. And this is where people like Bill Donovan, people like Alan Dulles, the Dulles brothers, et cetera, they begin to get their start here. And they are members of a famous law firm called Sullivan and Cromwell. So the first several chapters of Burton Hirsch's book deal with the history of Sullivan and Cromwell, British intelligence, Woodrow Wilson, et cetera, and all these figures kind of beginning this push towards America's move away from isolationism into internationalism. What did David Rockefeller say in his chapter? I'm a proud internationalist. In other words, America needs to be involved, not just in every big global conflict, but needs to become an empire to police the world, to control the world, to run the world. And the problem is that when you move into that imperial ethos, this usually drags down the economy in the West or in the hub of the empire. It's not always necessarily a drag. It can be successful. Byzantium, for example, lasted. It's the longest lasting empire, the Eastern Roman Empire. But what happened was it opened the doors. It opened the doors to the Muslims. And you had the fall of Byzantium to Islam when it became a uniate Roman Catholic power, opening its doors to the Muslims, famously.
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to theAuctionStore.com to go get the ultramethylene blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because, again, a good salesman sells a product that works and is good and that I use. So take the challenge. Go to theAuctionStore.com now and get ultramethylene blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. I can do hours on each product, and these are the best. You study Irish sea moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive, I'm stronger, I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry. It's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. We are discussing the book, The Old Boys, an official Council on Foreign Relations historian's take on the origins of the OSS and CIA and even the pre-war intelligence period of World War One. Of the inquiry, we were talking about the infamous figure of Colonel Edwin Mandel House, who, by the way, wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator about how a back channel, backdoor handler could control and cajole the president into doing what the secretive confederacy of shadowy people wanted done. So we're naming names. We're talking about people. And keep in mind, Burton Hirsch is not a conspiracy theorist. He's a little bit on the left, you could say, historian from the Aspen Institute and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And this book is based on over 100 declassified texts. So much like Quigley or something like that, this is not in any stretch of the imagination a conspiracy text. It's all based on official documents, cables, et cetera, declassified papers. The book begins going into the history of the the relationship between the Dulles brothers, Sullivan and Cromwell, and various big geopolitical operations. And the reason that law firms play a key role here is that these institutions are very interested in lawfare. As we know, for example, in Alex's travails, what he's had to deal with in terms of lawfare, this is really just the old CIA model of not just lawfare as attacking individuals, but writing international law so that certain companies, corporations, and entities can get around it so that they have an advantage. So if you're wealthy enough, if you're powerful enough, if you're a CIA-connected law firm like Sullivan and Cromwell was back in the days of the Dulles brothers, then you have the ability to, for example, create the Panama Canal. And that's exactly what was one of their first operations, was creating legally the Panama Canal using Sullivan and Cromwell. Another figure who came to prominence in these circles was a person named William Bullitt, and B-U-L-L-I-T-T. Bullitt was an early intelligence operative and ambassador, the first ambassador under the Wilson era up into FDR to the Soviets. And he pushed for the U.S. to recognize the Soviet Union. He pushed for a deal with Lenin that would allow the West and the U.S. to recognize the Bolshevik government. And in turn, Lenin would have to give up certain things like abandoning the persecution of the expatriate white Russians and end certain blockades. This ended up falling through, but you can begin to see that this was, again, a push when there was a Rockefeller Center-run Bolshevik revolution that was all run out of New York, according to Anthony Sutton. And what we get from the Burton Hirsch book is essentially a vindication of what Anthony Sutton said, that the Bolshevik revolution was run out of Wall Street, not just by WASP corporations and banks and companies, but also by Zionist banking interests, including the Warburgs, the Schiffs, and others. Operatives like William Bullitt, who himself was a Jewish believer, or at least in some sense, he was maternally from his matrilineal descent was Jewish. I don't know how serious he was about it. But again, we notice that there's an often push for communism and socialism by individuals with this kind of an attitude. And although this failed and the League of Nations failed, you can see that the circles of Bullitt, the circles of Edwin Mandel House, and Bullitt worked directly with Colonel House. Bullitt also spent a lot of time in gallivanting around with Sigmund Freud. You can see the circles and the ideology at work here. Again, that's also the circles of Tavistock. Tavistock employed some of the ideologies of Sigmund Freud, some of the ideas of Freud. And another figure in the inquiry circles, probably the most famous figure in these circles of the pre-OSS CIA intelligence apparatus, was Walter Lippmann. And Lippmann wasn't just known for his intelligence stuff, he was or his Tavistock affiliation. He was the creator of the founder of Public Opinion. His early book was Public Opinion and How to Steer and Craft Public Opinion so that it would support any of the war efforts that the elite wanted, particularly the Rothschild Zionist elite wanting America to participate in World War I and World War II, but also all the way down to today's Tavistock studies on convincing people to accept the transgender agenda. And if you get deep into Tavistock, I mean, they're deeply involved in the critical race theory stuff. They have branches in Michigan, at Michigan University, that were pioneering studies on CRT, pioneering anti-white studies, et cetera. All of that comes out of Tavistock and these individuals. The book moves on to discuss, even after the failure of the League of Nations, these same entities turning again to figure out a way to create international bodies and institutions that could supposedly save the world from war. So the false, push for peace isn't really about that. It's about creating international entities and organizations that benefit these oligarchical elites like the Rockefeller Foundation, et cetera. And the Rockefellers make up a significant part of the next several chapters because while Bill Donovan, the original choice man for running the OSS together with the British intelligence operatives that came and helped set that up, Bill Donovan began as a Rockefeller Foundation worker. He was an official sort of representative attaché person who was involved in missions to send food supplies in various conflict zones. And then he gets recruited by J.P. Morgan to go and to meet with Lloyd George, the famous Labour Fabian socialist prime minister in the U.K., who was working at the behest of Lionel Curtis and the Fabian socialists and the Rothschilds to push socialism in the U.K. Well, that ended up impressing a lot of people. And although Donovan didn't immediately get appointed to a high-level position, Herbert Hoover was impressed with him, but appointed him to a lesser position in the Philippines. But this allowed him to get more intelligence experience and more of his adventurism and whatnot. And eventually, he gets promoted to being the head of the OSS, appointed to the head of that. And this is at a period, too, when we're supposedly in the midst of, you know, the dangers of Nazi Germany. There's all of this threat. And it turns out the Dulles brothers, not only are they aiding and supporting the financiers of Hitler, like Helmut Schacht, Fritz Thyssen, and others, who was part of the United Steel cartel, people like Albert Vogler. It turns out the Dulles brothers all end up supporting and doing law work to help not just the people around Tiny Mustache Man, but also Franco. Now, you might think, well, you know, people are beginning to popularize and think that Hitler's a good guy now, and they're fans of all that. Well, the Dulles brothers are, first of all, they're not Christian. They're not into any kind of like really based kind of, you know, right-wing politics. They're really just power political players, and they see the cause of Hitler as something that really isn't worth America getting involved in. So they had a kind of an America First view, and America First at that time just simply meant not being involved in foreign conflicts and not fighting in World War II. But the problem is that they're not some sort of based anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist law firm. They're actually pro-Zionist. So you could be both. You could be aiding and supporting the rise of Hitler and working at the Schroeder Bank and working at these other banks that helped to fund and aid Hitler, and also supporting Zionism. And I point this out quite often. You know, some months ago, I was in studio with Alex, and I talked about the dual appeasement strategy that the British elites had to goad Hitler into attacking because they wanted World War II to happen. And on Twitter, it just erupted in a firestorm. There was several, if you total it up, there's a few millions of views, and just thousands and thousands of the Nazi bots, the botsies on Twitter coming after me, attacking me, all the neo-pagan retards are coming at me. Why? Well, because it's impossible, because Hitler arrested a couple Rothschilds, seized a few of their properties in Austria and their banks. And so there's no way that there could be establishment support for Hitler. Well, here's another book admitting that the Dulles law firm of Sullivan and Cromwell, that they were helping all of the pro-Franco, pro-fascist, Hitler law firms, and they were also pro-Zionist. And in fact, when people complained about Dulles, he would just simply say, well, I've aided and supported all kinds of Jewish Zionist and banking interests. And if you really get into this, there's not a real conflict here, because even Hitler and the Nazis early on in the Havara Agreement supported the exporting of Jews to Palestine. And so Hitler was actually pro-Zionist. He wanted Jews to leave. He thought that would be better for them. And so the cartel system that existed in Germany at that time, the Dulles brothers saw this as a great means to step in. And because Germany was in debt, the German economy was pretty bad. The Weimar economy was bad. The Dulles brothers also saw an economic situation here that we could step in if we fund a lot of this. Will have a huge stake in the future of Germany. And so Kurt Schroeder, the banker, was working hand in hand together with the Dulleses. as they also supported a homeland for the Jews in Palestine, pro-Zionist. In fact, Dulles says that he was an acquaintance of and a supporter of Chaim Weizmann and his Zionist project. So the Warburgs, Kuhnen, Loeb, etc., they were at that time opposing Hitler, but Sullivan and Cromwell, Alan Dulles and others were actually working together to, for the Rothschilds, get the land and the banks that were seized in Austria by Hitler to get that back for the Rothschilds. So the story goes much deeper than good guy, bad guy. People always want to try to portray this as, well, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? It's a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of power players trying to get a hold of corporations and companies. And why was this? Well, it turns out that they understood there was a war coming, and whoever could have a stake in those countries in the coming post-war period would then be able to rebuild, and it would be a whole new market that was created. In fact, Sutton has a whole chapter discussing that the New York corporate firms, Wall Street firms, and Jewish banking firms understood that when there was a Bolshevik revolution, this would open up Russia to being rebuilt by the West to huge corporate power and banking power, to huge markets, in other words. So it's not just about, wars are not just fought for good guy, bad guy ideologies, and we're saving the homeland against the invaders. Wars are actually fought in the modern era for cartels. And that's what Burton Hirsch admits in the first several chapters of his book, is that German cartels had a huge impetus and motivation for there to be a war. And so they were all involved in eventually hopping on to support Hitler and the war effort. Not everyone, for example, the Warburgs and the Schiffs, Kuhn and Loeb, some of those interests did oppose Hitler. But it doesn't follow from that that there were no Western elite Wall Street corporate banking interests supporting Hitler, because there were. Again, this backs up another one of the books by Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. So this is that's a Hudson Institute writer writing about this. And here's a CFR guy writing about it and admitting it. Yeah, sure. Of course, there was a lot of support from the Dulles brothers, who represented not just Hitler associated corporations and cartels, but also Franco's corporations and businesses. And they did this indirectly. And that's probably because some of them were fascist. I mean, there were plenty of people in the British establishment, the Malthusian sort of British elites, the king himself at one point, Wallace Simpson, a lot of those people favored the Nazi ideology. And again, this is not a good guy, bad guy scenario. This is all just the reality of the power struggle and power situations. Some of these people, by the way, eventually went to go write Hollywood screenplays. They wrote a lot of the films in the 1930s and 40s. In fact, in my third book, Esoteric Hollywood 3, I go into some of the circles of British intelligence that sent screenwriters to Hollywood. One of the women was named Helen McInnes, and she literally wrote several films for British intelligence to convince Americans to get involved in the war effort. Now, she didn't write every Hitchcock film, but you can see in the case of some of the Hitchcock films, Hitchcock was in the Curtis circle pushing in Hollywood also to get America involved in World War II. So films like Saboteur in 1942, where you have Nazi networks in the U.S. sabotaging and committing espionage, et cetera, which actually there is some truth to that. There was actually a network of German espionage in the U.S. Under the guidance of a guy named Heinrich Albert, together with Franz von Papen and a guy named Gerhard Vestrick. They were running and involved in nationwide assassination and espionage operations on the part of Germany. And I think eventually Vestrick and I think Albert were expelled from the U.S. But that's because they were also, at least in the case of Vestrick, was working with the Dulles brothers. So this is also the birthplace of Operation Paperclip as well, right? So Paperclip plays a role in this. And Galenorg, which is Reinhard Galen's European espionage network for the Nazis, once the Nazis lose, it's the CIA just sort of takes over those networks. And that's the origin of today's German BND. The German intelligence is originally the Galen Org network. That doesn't mean that today's German intelligence are Nazis. They're totally insane. Like, just like all of the other European, you know, networks, they're all just totally basically, you know, cucked, tranny supporting lunatics now. And that's where we are, is that, you know, you can say what you will about World War II. I'm not pro-fascist, but what ended up winning wasn't Western capitalism. What ended up winning World War II and what ended up becoming the basis for the EU was Fabian socialism. That's socialism combined with Western capitalism. That's what's also being pushed, not just by people like Woodrow Wilson and, Colonel Edwin Mandel House and these figures back at the time of World War I and, you know, the establishment of the Federal Reserve, but also people like Louis Brandeis. So the Supreme Court was very infested with open socialist judges at this time. You had a vice president who was a Fabian socialist as well, communist openly. So these networks, these infiltrators, these were all very real, but even Hollywood can exaggerate this, right? There's films like Above Suspicion, which I think was written by Helen McInnes, the British intelligence operative, Reunion in France, Foreign Correspondent, even Hitchcock's Notorious in 1946. These are all basically propaganda films. And I'm not saying they're bad films. Many of them are excellent. They're very well made, very well done films. But they're also part of the propaganda war effort. And, you know, going back after reading a lot of this material and watching a lot of 1940s, 50s, you know, films, like, you can see how many of these films are also propaganda. It's so transparent. Nowadays, of course, you go back in time and people had no clue about how sophisticated propaganda was. But long story short is that, Chase Bank, all of these entities are connected through the Dulleses to the Schroeder Trust and the Swiss agreement. And this is where that long rumored legend story of Nazi gold and stolen loot being somehow spirited out to Switzerland and Swiss banks and whatnot. Well, Burton Hirsch's book actually touches on that. And that has to do with the Dulleses helping these groups get around international laws and blockades, because America had economic sanctions against Germany. And the Rockefeller Investment Banking Combine, which was a combination of Avery Rockefeller, Kurt von Schroeder, and the Dulles brothers, aiding them to legally get around certain international laws so that corporations could still, like Royal Dutch Shell, support Hitler in the war effort. And any time that Alan Dulles would be questioned about it, he would just simply say, well, I helped out Jewish bankers too. So he didn't really deny it. He just said, well, look, I help everybody. So that's, you know, we're a law firm. That's what we do. But to get around the sanctions, to in some way, you know, take some of this, get some of this Nazi loot spirited away. Nobody knows exactly what happened to all that or where it went. It's a kind of a famous historical legend. Well, my guess would be that it has something to do with what Burton Hirsch is talking about here. And this is not antithetical to Zionist interests either. So people think, oh, well, this is, so you're just talking about how Nazis are bad and you won't talk about, no, we're saying that there's power elites. Sometimes they disagree. Even amongst the British power elite, you had a faction that were Arabophiles who were obsessed with Islam. They loved Arab and Islamic culture. People like T.E. Lawrence, people like Gertrude Bell, people like St. John Philby, people, you know, even amongst the Royal Society elite, the Lionel Curtises and these kinds of people. But you also had people who were pro-Zionist in the Rothschild circles amongst those elites. And even some of the spies like T.E. Lawrence, sometimes he sounds like a rabid Zionist and sometimes he sounds like a rabid, you know, Islamic anti-Zionist. So with these kinds of power players, they can flip sides. They can, you know, flip-flop. They can support both sides. That's also a possibility. People overlook the possibility of funding and supporting both sides. And, you know, just because one family or branch of Rothschilds gets arrested in Germany by Hitler, it doesn't follow from that the Rothschilds aren't also involved at some level through international banking interest in wanting a world war. It just simply means that Hitler started doing things that people who originally goaded him on didn't necessarily want him to do. Just like Saddam Hussein might be supported and aided by the U.S. and the CIA, he's trained by the CIA, and then he comes to power, and, well, he starts doing things off script, and, well, it's time to get rid of Saddam Hussein. So all these things are possibilities. It doesn't follow from this that there was no Western banking corporate elite support for Hitler, or that there wasn't Hitler support for Zionist interests. In fact, the nation state of Israel, you could argue, couldn't even have been established. There wasn't even a justification for the United Nations recognition of Israel in 1948 had it not been for Hitler in World War II. I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying that's the reality of the justification for the establishment of the nation state of Israel and its acceptance by the United Nations in 1948. That's all because of what Hitler did in World War II in the 1940s. So the pressure is from all sides here, and there's not good guys and bad guys necessarily. I'm not saying there's not heroes in wartime. I'm just saying, like, to look at big scale 20th century geopolitics and then try to figure out the good guy versus the bad guy is just a very naive, simplistic, you know, approach. And it overlooks the fact that, you know, communists in Russia killed something like 60 million people, right? Okay. And many of them were Orthodox Christians. There were dozens and dozens more millions believed to be killed by Mao than even in Russia. So if there's 30, 60, 90 million people being killed over there, oh, but the only thing that matters in the West is the 6 million or so allegedly in the Holocaust. Well, why are those lives more mystically valuable than all the others? And I'm not saying there weren't Jews killed. I think Jews were killed. But I'm saying there's nothing about that DNA that makes them more powerful or more mystically special than the Christians that died in Russia. So democide is a problem all around. And there's no, it's just absurd to pick one group to say, oh, they're the only group that really matters. The rest of the millions of people that died, they're lesser. That's all Israeli first propaganda. That's what Ben Shapiro represents. I've asked for years to debate Ben Shapiro. Of course, he's not going to debate me. He's not going to debate Alex or anybody who would give him real pushback. Ben Shapiro is a dual citizen, and he represents a foreign interest. And his time is passing away. People are tired of all of that propaganda, and they're waking up to America being put into the primary position. This is Jay's Analysis. I'm Jay Dyer. You can go watch my stuff on my channel.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the ultramethylene blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish sea moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong, you know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexshilajit.com. Make the decision now. Get our ultramethylene blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air. A 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at infowarsstore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key. You're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store.
Act now while supplies last.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.